Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner with the Living Savior Ministries. This teaching is going to be on the believer's authority. Now, we will be teaching you the authority of the believer in Christ. If you're a Christian, you can do great and mighty things that most of us don't know. It took me a long time to learn this. Now, at the end of this teaching, there will be a website and a phone number where you can get these teachings in their entirety, and they will be free and postpaid. I hope you enjoy the teaching.
Since I've been ministering to you a whole lot lately, I'm just going to teach you a little bit of what Thurman teaches, basically in the same order, so that you can learn how to do it. So I told him, do this, you know, and I knew his sins were forgiven. So I said, okay, now put your hand on there and just repeat after me. And he said a few things, and I said, I'll tell it to go. And he said, well, go. I said, well, how's it now? I said, well, gosh, it's like 80% better. I said, well, you know, just keep telling it to go. Pray again. So, well, now it's like 10% better. I said, well, that's because it's a spirit, and it knows that you don't want really to go, so you got to get violent in prayer and just demand that it leave, which he did, and it was instantly healed.
Amen.
And he was like, I got, you know, totally can do anything I could, and I couldn't do it at all before. So it works over the phone. And then the best one was this week my daughter brought a friend over to the house. My daughter's 14, and this girl was going in out the thing, and I was watching Channel 29. That something, the Lord told me, put Thurman's tape in and start watching. So I put in his tape of him in his pink coat and his white shoes. And she walks in, and I said, I know this guy is a friend of mine, and he's a pastor. And my daughter goes, who's an evangelist? She goes, and he's a Christian, too. Which, that's funny, but that was the Lord. Because she goes, a Christian? That's cool. What's a Christian? She says, my mom puts on, you know, like Christian TV for me to watch sometimes, but I never see it. So what's a Christian? So I told her what a Christian was and led her to the Lord. And it was awesome. So then the next day she was back again, and my son, I hadn't given him a key to get in, so he jumps over the fence and hurts his shoulder. So I said, let's pray for Jonathan. So he laid his hands on him, and my daughter's going, come on, come over here. You do it too. And she's like, okay. You know, she puts one finger on his shoulder. We pray, and he gets healed. And all of a sudden she goes, oh, my back. Oh, man, it's hurting really bad. I'm thinking, okay, pain jumped off him there. And the devil's not going to get the glory out of this because God is. So I just said, don't worry. Put my hand on her back. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. And she goes, whoa, what was that? I said, what do you mean? She said, the pain just went away instantly. And my daughter goes, that's the power of God.
Amen. Praise the King. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now that's where we should all be living as Christians. Every one of us had a statement, sir. Well, to start off with, number one, the requirements for you to be healed is you must confess your sins to God, because sin is what brings forth sickness and disease and death. Now the Lord clearly states in His Word, we are to sin not. He clearly says in James 1 that when we sin, when sin is fully matured or fully grown, it brings forth death. So the thing that you don't want to do is sin. If you have sinned and you've not confessed sin, then it will bring on sickness and disease. To get your sins confessed after you become a Christian, you must know what they are and you must confess them to the Lord. Now, I'll give you an example. Cheryl, whenever Cheryl came to my healing school the first time in June last year, June the 8th, a year ago, she had contacted an incurable disease when she'd had a sexual relationship with a young boy when she was 24. She really didn't know it was sin, but she was a Christian. Now then, at 24 to 54, 30 years she had suffered with this incurable disease. She found out at a healing school that she must confess her sins, so she came to the Lord in tears, told Him, Lord, I'm so sorry for that sexual sin that I committed. I really didn't know it was against Your Word, but now I know it's against Your Word. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm so sorry that I committed that sin with that boy, and I ask You to forgive me. And, Lord, this sin, this demon that I got, that has brought this incurable disease along with me now for 30 years that I've suffered with, I now realize that when I confess my sin, You're righteous and just to forgive my sin and to restore me to fellowship. So she said, Lord, now I realize that I have confessed that sin to You through the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. And so I realized it is forgiven. She said, Lord, I make you a promise. I'll never sin again. I'll walk holy before you. I'll do everything I can to walk in obedience to your word and to serve you all of my life. And now then, I told her, I said, now then, we must cast out the demon and lay hands on you, according to Mark 16, 17, and 18. Once the sin has been confessed, you must confess the sin. Repent of the sin and make the Lord the promise. You will not sin in that area again. You will do the best you can to walk holy before Him. And, of course, as Cheryl did that, and then she came up, after she had done everything she was required, I laid my hands on her, commanded the demon to leave, and commanded her to be healed in the name of Jesus, according to Mark 16, 17, and 18. And she was instantly healed. She's given that testimony a couple of times here in church over the last year. And she's so wonderfully happy. She's now doing all kinds of wonderful things for Jesus, doing benefits and helping orphans' homes and doing all kinds of wonderful things. She's so grateful. But can you imagine having an incurable disease, painful disease, for 30 years of your life and not knowing, except what the doctor said, it's incurable. And yet come and realize you've got a demon because you sinned. If our young people and old people, too, we got both young and old, that's sinning every way, and especially in sex today, we got people that are middle-aged and everything else. If those people really believed, when they went out and had a sexual relationship with somebody other than their mate, they were going to get a demon. And sometimes the demon does not manifest right then. Sometimes when you get the demon, you commit a sex act. Say you're 25 years old and you're a young man or young woman, and you go out and say you're married and you have a normal sexual relationship. And say your wife gets pregnant, she brings forth a child. And then let's say 2 years later, your wife gets pregnant again. While she's pregnant, you happen to be familiar with your wife now, and you want some, what boys say, strange territory. So they go out and run around while your wife's sex. Yeah, I mean, while your wife is carrying a baby, and you have sex with another woman or two. Nobody knows. You know, you're out of town. You won't never tell your wife. She won't never know. But that child is born mentally handicapped. You never put it together that it was your sin of disobedience that allowed the devil to come into that baby, to make that baby mentally handicapped or physically handicapped because of your sin. But God said in His Word, the sins of the fathers will be passed to the children, to the fourth generation. If fathers really knew God's Word, men in the church or women in the church really believe this magnificent book and realize the consequences of this book, we would have people that stop sinning. You don't get by with nothing. I don't care who you are. Why do you think that we have so many handicapped, mentally retarded, or sick people in the church? It's because we don't know God's Word. I didn't know. I was one of those. I had all kinds of sickness and disease. I mean, I had double pneumonia. I mean, I had a relapse of it. I was a Christian. I was down in my back 6 times. Walked on crutches for a week. Had a hernia. I was beginning to get enough faith by this time that when I did have the hernia, although I did it through a physical reaction, overstressed my body, but I didn't have the faith to get it healed just on my faith. So I went to a doctor and let him do surgery. But I did tell him that I'd only let him do it as an outpatient. He said, I don't do surgery as an outpatient for hernia. I said, well, if you're going to do mine, you'll do it that way. He said, I'll tell you what I will do. I was about 42 or 3 or 4 years old when this happened. He said, you are in very good physical health. You don't smoke. You don't do none of those things. So he said, I'll tell you what I will do. I will do the surgery at 7 o'clock on Monday morning. If you can get up off of that bed when you wake up and put your clothes on by yourself, I'll let you go home. I said, no problem. I'll do it. He knew I couldn't do that, according to himself. But when I woke up, I got up, put my clothes on. He walked in. I said, I'm ready to go to the house. He said, "You're going." I said, "I told you I was going." He said, "Well, take this bottle of medication with you." I said, "I don't believe in medication." I said, "What are they?" He said, "They're pain pills." He said, "I'm not going to let you go home unless you take this, because when that stuff I put in your body wears off, after I cut on you," he said, "I guarantee tonight about midnight, you're going to be screaming for something." I said, "I don't take medication. I will have no pain, because Isaiah 53:4, Jesus bore my pain." I'm claiming the promises of God. I got home that evening. He said, "You must take this bottle with you. I'm not letting you go home." I said, "Okay, let me have the bottle." I put it in my pocket. I went home. I got home, set it on a cabinet. About 8 or 9 o'clock that night, my wife said, "You want one of those painkillers?" I said, "No, honey. I don't need them. I have no pain." She said, "But the doctor said," "I don't care what he said, I'm going to have no pain." I slept all night, woke up the next morning, got up, walked around. She said, "You sure you don't want one of these pain pills?" I said, "I have no pain. I couldn't feel any better." Well, Tuesday, during the day, as I walked around and everything, Wednesday, I was really doing good. And Thursday, I got in my truck and drove out to my farm and walked around and did a few things. Friday, I was feeling so good. Monday morning, I went back to work. I carried my bag. You know, I traveled. I went everywhere for about the next 2 or 3 weeks. And finally, I think it was the end of the third week, or maybe the fourth week, he told me to come back for a checkup. So I went back in, and he looked at it. He says, "Boy, do I do good work." I said, "Don't you start taking the credit for that. That was Jesus." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I can't even hardly tell where the scar is." I said, "Like I say, that's my faith that's doing that." He said, "Gee, at this rate," he said, "instead of 6 weeks, one more week, you can go back to work." I said, "Sir, I went back to work the second Monday morning, the first Monday morning, after you operated on me Monday." He said, "No way." I said, "Of course I did." I said, "By faith, Jesus said, all things are possible with me." I said, "I never took a pain pill, not one. I never had a pain." Matthew 8:13 makes you an awesome statement.
We'll have to stop the teaching right there today, but we will take up right there tomorrow. We hope you will join us again tomorrow for the continuation of the teaching on the believer's authority. Now, if you'd like to have this teaching in its entirety, we would be happy to send it to you free and postpaid if you will call this phone number, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, or if you'll contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org, www.tlsm.org. We'll be happy to send you these teachings free and postpaid. I hope you've enjoyed and will continue to enjoy the teachings on the believer's authority. Remember, they're free and postpaid to those that call.